Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 25th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
investors brace for a pivotal week in the markets.
The Fed is expected to hike rates by 75 basis points again.
Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, and Alphabet are all scheduled to report.
And a new warning about monkeypox from the World Health Organization.
A heat advisory extended till tonight for parts of the tri-state, and Donald Trump heads to the nation's capital. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Pete Alonso, the big blow for the Mets and a win over San Diego. Aaron Judge homered again. The Yankees won in Baltimore.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 19 points. Dow futures up 136, and NASDAQ futures up 67. 10-year Treasury down 13 30 seconds, yield 2.80%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with this week's highly anticipated Fed meeting. Their decision comes Wednesday, and after raising rates sharply in June, Jay Powell and colleagues are expected to approve another 75 basis point hike. While the Fed tightens policy to get inflation under control, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she does not see any sign the economy is in a broad recession.
We're likely to see some slowing of job creation, but I don't think that that's a recession. A recession is broad-based weakness in the economy. We're not seeing that now.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, despite Yellen's comments, Nathan, investors are skeptical the Fed can tame inflation without a recession. That's according to more than 1,300 people who responded to a Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey. We get more from Bloomberg's Heather Burke.
Over 60% of the respondents in the survey said there's a low or zero probability that the Fed can rein in inflation without causing a recession. And about two-thirds of the respondents expect the 10-year Treasury yield to peak over the next 9 months at below 3.7%. And most think that the Fed's going to start cutting rates in 2023. So definitely it's a pretty muted outlook going into 2023.
Bloomberg's Heather Burke says the majority in the survey say the Fed funds rate will peak at 4% or less.
Well, one other note on inflation, Karen, prices may be close to peaking, but they won't come down quickly. That's according to an analysis from Bloomberg Economics, which says inflation's likely to stay above 8% through the end of the year. In fact, the team's model assigns zero probability that inflation will drop below 4% in 2023.
The Fed is not the only thing in focus this week, Nathan. It's also a big few days for major tech earnings. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a week when we'll hear from names including Alphabet, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta Platforms, among many others. We will also hear from more than 30% of S&P 500 companies. Liz Young is head of investment strategy at SoFi.
Earnings season has been mixed, not terrible so far, but we have heard from a lot of companies that they're thinking the following environment is going to be more challenging, so they're preparing themselves for that challenge.
Also on deck this week, 3M, Boeing, Chevron, Coca-Cola, GM, Hilton, MasterCard, McDonald's, Procter & Gamble, UPS, and Visa. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And there are even more earnings this week in Europe. Let's go to London and get the latest on that with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A bumper week for European earnings. Ryanair has posted a profit for the first quarter ahead of estimates. Europe's largest discount airline says it's cautious about bookings, though, beyond the current summer travel boom. Meanwhile, first half profits slumping at Swiss wealth manager Julius Baer. That's as wild market swings spooked clients. And a cut to sales guidance for this year from medical equipment maker Philips. It's been hit by inflationary pressures, supply chain troubles, and COVID lockdowns in China. Philips, the worst performing share on the Stoxx 600 today, down more than 10%. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. In other news this morning, international concern is growing over monkeypox. The World Health Organization has declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The lack of urgency and coordination in testing and treatment for the monkeypox virus in many parts of the world has prompted the World Health Organization to sound the alarm. The virus has spread to about 16,000 people in more than 70 countries in just a few months. And White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says monkeypox can be contained.
The way we contain monkeypox is we have a very simple, straightforward strategy on this, right? Which is make testing widely available. We have done that, and now testing is far more frequent and common. We're going to be releasing hundreds of thousands of more vaccines in the next days and weeks.
Dr. Ashish Jha made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation. You can hear the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Turning to COVID-19 now, we have an update on President Biden's condition as he recovers from a bout with the virus. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
White House physician Kevin O'Connor says President Biden's symptoms are improving significantly, with the most prominent symptom now a sore throat. O'Connor says the 79-year-old, who is vaccinated and double boosted, is responding to therapy as expected, and his other symptoms have diminished considerably. Biden is being treated with Paxlovid. He takes Tylenol and has been using an inhaler 2 to 3 times a day. The White House says he's still working as he continues to isolate. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And corporate news this morning, Apple has announced a rare retail promotion in China. It's offering 4 days of discounts on its top-tier iPhones and related accessories ahead of the launch of its next-generation devices. The company is historically reluctant to alter pricing. The discounts come as China's economy tries to bounce back from major COVID lockdowns in Shanghai and Beijing.
Finally, Karen, Elon Musk is denying that he had an affair with Google co-founder Sergey Brin's wife. According to the Wall Street Journal, this alleged affair took place in December. The newspaper says it led Brin to sell his investments in Musk's companies. But Musk says the story isn't true, that he's still friends with Brin. Brin filed for divorce from his wife back in January. S&P futures right now are up 16 points. Dow futures up 117. NASDAQ futures higher by 58 points. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 82 degrees in Central Park now, dealing with a wreck near Newark Airport, southbound Route 21 by Clay Street. More coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Historic heat has a lot of people struggling to pay utility bills. And as Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini tells us, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says people need more help.
Senator Schumer says demand for New York's federally funded cooling assistance program is unprecedented.
There has been such a big demand for this program, given the heat wave. The applications went up from about 10,000 to 30,000, a 200% increase in demand.
And Schumer is proposing adding billions of dollars to the budget for the program after it had to stop taking applications because it was so oversubscribed. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Radio.
A destructive wildfire near Yosemite has burned out of control through tinder dry forest and has grown into one of California's biggest blazes of the year. It's forced thousands of residents to flee remote mountain communities. The sheriff, Jeremy Breeze, says the fight is far from over.
There is hot ash, hot trees, still stuff, throwing stuff over the line, causing us concerns.
2,000 firefighters battled the Oak Creek fire, facing tough conditions, including steep terrain, sweltering temperatures, and low humidity. Donald Trump is heading back to Washington as Republican rivals maneuver for a possible primary challenge and lawmakers probe his culpability for the January 6th insurrection. The former president will deliver a keynote speech Tuesday at the America First Agenda Summit, a conservative conference. Well, Trump isn't expected to announce a third run for president in his Washington speech, at least according to advisors. Today, his former vice president, Mike Pence, will deliver remarks of his own. A live stream of a church service in New York was interrupted Sunday morning by a robbery. Three gun-toting thieves entered the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries in Brooklyn, demanding valuables from Bishop Lamar Whitehead.
you know, took my watch, took my jewelry, took my bishop's ring, took my wedding band, and then they took my bishop's cross.
Well, the bishop says the thieves drove away in a white Mercedes. New York City ranks 93rd in the U.S. for public bathrooms per capita. Now there's a bill aimed at opening more public bathrooms. That has the support to pass the city council. The effort comes after widespread shutdowns during the early days of the pandemic made it even harder to find a restroom. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority shuttered all 76 toilets in the subway system. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 6:10 on Wall Street, John Stashar has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, the two New York City sluggers. They've got the two most runs batted in the majors, and they'll be facing off tomorrow and Wednesday, a brief Subway Series at Citi Field. Yesterday in Baltimore, another home run for Judge, his 37th. He hit three in the series, and in the game where he didn't homer, he had four hits. Jose Trevino had four hits. Nestor Cortez and the Yanks shut out the Orioles 6-0. Last night, Citi Field, the Mets held scoreless until the sixth inning. At that point, they had only scored two runs in the series. Alonso then unloaded. Three-run homer. Mets went on to lead the Padres 8-1 and then held on to beat San Diego 8-5, and Atlanta lost, so the Mets are a game and a half ahead of the Braves. Among those inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, Gil Hodges, 50 years after his death, he was one of the boys of summer, a beloved Brooklyn Dodger first baseman. His daughter Irene made his induction speech.
When my father slumped in the 1952 World Series, Brooklyn fans loved him. Who goes 0-21 and gets a standing ovation every time at bat?
Mets fans loved him too. Hodges, of course, the manager of the Miracle Mets in 1969. Cleon Jones, Ed Crane Pool, Art Shamsky, Ron Swoboda, and the daughter of the late Tom Seaver were all there in Cooperstown, where David Ortiz, Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, the late Minnie Minoso, and Buck O'Neill were all inducted as well. 3M Golf in Minnesota. Tony Finau trailed by five shots with 11 holes to play. He won by three. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures up 16 points. Dow futures up 124. NASDAQ futures higher by 59 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Some showers and storms possible today with a heat advisory in effect till 8 p.m. for parts of northern New Jersey. We'll be in the mid-80s tomorrow, upper 80s by Wednesday. Right now, 81 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning while European shares are also gaining now. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 152, NASDAQ futures up 71, the DAX in Germany's up 0.5%, the 10-year Treasury down 14 30 seconds, yield 2.80%, the yield on the 2-year 2.99%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 96 cents at $95.66. A barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.90 at $17.48.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0233 against the dollar. British pound 1.2045 and the yen at 136.31. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's down 3% at $22,025. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, international concern growing over monkeypox. The World Health Organization has declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency. Elon Musk denying he had an affair with Google co-founder Sergey Brin's wife. According to the Wall Street Journal, the alleged affair took place in December. And a destructive wildfire near Yosemite National Park burning out of control through tinder dry forests. Thousands of residents in the area have been evacuated. Sports, Yankees beat the O's, the Mets top the Padres, Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers beat the Giants. The Nationals also beat the Diamondbacks. Global News 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Michael Hewson is with us now, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, as we get ready for a trading week that's going to be dominated by a Fed decision and big tech earnings. Michael, good morning. Of course, a lot of focus now on what the Fed will decide on Wednesday. It seems as though they've pretty much telegraphed a 75 basis point move. So what are markets looking for ahead of that?
Well, I certainly think it's actually quite telling that we actually opened on a downswing here in Europe, and we've only started to edge higher after the German IFO business survey posted some really dire numbers this morning, and has pulled us back rather counterintuitively into positive territory. And I can't help thinking that markets are pricing in that we're getting close to the end of the central bank hiking cycle than we are near to the beginning. Certainly, I think if you look at the way bond yields have been behaving over the course of the past few weeks, I can't help thinking that we've peaked and that ultimately markets are now pricing in increased probability of recession, and that ultimately after this week's 75 basis point rate hike by the Federal Reserve, I think the key message will be how hard are the Fed going to go subsequent to the Jackson Hole, obviously, in September and thereafter. And I think markets are starting to price out the probability of much more aggressive tightening as we head into the second half of the year. That's certainly my feeling when I look at the behavior of the US dollar, which has started to show signs of rolling over. But really, I think it's what bond markets are telling me at the moment. They're telling me that markets are, you know, sort of doubtful about whether or not central banks are going to be able to tighten as much as they say they will.
So are you thinking that there could be a pivot from the Fed away from an inflation fighting focus to more of a focus now on trying to avoid recession? Is that your call now?
Not yet. I don't think they'll signal it this early. I think they'll go through with the 75 basis points on Thursday. I think it's way too early to signal any sort of pivot, even though the markets are starting to price that. I think if we're going to see a pivot, it'll come at Jackson Hole, because generally that's when the Federal Reserve tends to lay out what it expects for the US economy over the course of the next 3 to 4 months into year end. And they'll have more data to work with at Jackson Hole. They'll have another two payrolls reports to work with. They'll have 2 months more data. I mean, that services data that we saw on Friday was particularly surprising and a little bit shocking. And I'll be interested to see whether or not the ISM non-manufacturing data supports the decline that we saw in the more general PMI numbers that we saw last week.
How much is the Fed potentially affected by the European Central Bank's decision to go a little bit higher than the markets might have been anticipating? Does that have any impact on what the Fed decides this week?
No, none whatsoever. The ECB has a completely different set of problems than the Federal Reserve. The decision last week to hike by 50 basis points was akin to bringing a knife to a gunfight for the ECB. Even though the markets are talking about the prospect that they're probably going to be able to hike by another 100, 150 basis points by year end, I seriously doubt that if the German economy and the European economy slides into recession. So I think as far as the ECB is concerned, it has its own set of unique problems to deal with, completely independent of the Federal Reserve.
Now, on top of the Fed decision this week, of course, we got a slew of big tech earnings. What's the bigger focus for markets this week? Is it the tech earnings story, or is it what the Fed decides?
I actually think it's the earnings story. I think you saw the reaction from those snap numbers at the end of last week on Friday morning, and the subsequent decline there. And it's not the first time that snap has sort of acted as a little bit of a canary in the coal mine when it comes to tech earnings. We've got, obviously, Alphabet tomorrow. We've also got Meta later in the week. And it was notable, I think, for me, Nathan, in the first quarter, how advertising revenues for Alphabet actually disappointed towards the downside. And it was largely as a consequence of a shortfall in YouTube revenue. I'll be interested to see whether or not that pattern is repeated as we look ahead to the Q2 numbers and what their outlook is for Q3. More importantly, I'm less concerned about Meta's numbers as I am about Amazon. What do Amazon's numbers tell us about its costs, its margins, and also its outlook for the rest of the year?
Yeah, lots to digest this week. Thanks for this, Michael. Always great to speak with you. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Right now, S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures up 146. NASDAQ futures are higher by 64 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 14/32 for a yield of 2.80%, and the yield on the 2-year right now, 2.99%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather could see some storms today as we have a heat advisory till 8 tonight for parts of northern New Jersey. High near 90 today, mid-80s tomorrow, upper 80s by Wednesday. Right now, 81 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 106.1. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. It helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. First, we begin with this week's highly anticipated Fed meeting when Chair Jay Powell and his colleagues are expected to once again approve a 75 basis point hike in interest rates. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she does not believe the U.S. economy is in a broad recession, but inflation is still a concern.
Inflation is way too high. The Fed is charged with putting in place policies that will bring inflation down, and I expect them to be successful.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made the comments on ABC's Meet the Press, and you can hear the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, despite what Yellen's saying, Karen, investors remain skeptical that the Fed will contain inflation. That's according to more than 1,300 of them who participated in a Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey. According to a new model from Bloomberg Economics, inflation is very likely to stay above 8% through year end.
Well, Nathan, big tech earnings are also in focus on Wall Street. We'll hear from Alphabet, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta this week. They join more than 30% of S&P 500 companies scheduled to report.
In other news, Karen, international concern is growing over monkeypox. The World Health Organization has declared it a public health emergency. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
The lack of urgency and coordination in testing and treatment for the monkeypox virus in many parts of the world has prompted the World Health Organization to sound the alarm. The virus has spread to about 16,000 people in more than 70 countries in just a few months. And White House COVID-19 response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says monkeypox can be contained.
The way we contain monkeypox is we have a very simple, straightforward strategy on this, right? Which is make testing widely available. We have done that, and now testing is far more frequent and common. We're going to be releasing hundreds of thousands of more vaccines in the next days and weeks.
Dr. Ashish Jha made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation. You can hear the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And we have an update from the Biden administration after the president tested positive for COVID-19 last week. White House physician Kevin O'Connor says President Biden has a sore throat, but his symptoms have improved significantly. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 82 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with an accident southbound 21 by Clay Street if you're headed to Newark Airport. More coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker with what else is going on in New York and around the world. John.
And Nathan, the heat is on again. A heat advisory still remains in effect for parts of northern New Jersey until tonight. And Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Best tells us relief is in sight.
John, a big ridge of high pressure that's been responsible for all our heat and humidity will begin to break down a bit through today. So that's going to be more seasonable weather coming up here for much of this week, with temperatures mainly sitting in the 80s, and the humidity will be on the moderate to high side at times.
Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Best. In Newark, New Jersey, there have been five straight days of hitting 100 degrees. That is the longest stretch on record. At least 2,000 firefighters are battling a raging wildfire just west of Yosemite National Park. More than 6,000 residents have been forced from their homes. Extreme drought fueling the flames. CAL FIRE Battalion Chief John Hedgie.
We're seeing that wind change throughout the day, which really kind of puts the fire front in different areas as we fight the fire.
California's governor has declared a state of emergency. Donald Trump will test his waning appeal among Republicans with a visit to the nation's capital. That story from Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
The former president will deliver a keynote speech tomorrow at the America First Agenda Summit in Washington, a conservative conference. His remarks come on the heels of a House committee hearing that portrayed him standing by indifferently, even vindictively, for hours as a mob of his supporters battled police and chased lawmakers through the halls of the Capitol. Trump is not expected to announce a third run for president in his Washington speech. His former vice president, Mike Pence, will deliver remarks of his own scheduled for today. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
He was instrumental in getting Republican George Pataki elected governor and Al D'Amato elected senator in New York. The former state conservative party chairman Michael Long has died. He was 82. And Pope Francis has landed in Canada in what's being called a penitential journey to apologize to Canada's indigenous people for the abuse of children in residential schools going back to the 19th century. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stenshaw.
All right, Nathan. Mets had lost three in a row and only scored four runs in those three games, and they began the day with their lead over Atlanta that was once 10.5 games down to just a half game. The Braves lost, so the Mets knew they were not going to fall out of first, but their bats were quiet for five innings against the Padres' Joe Musgrove. And then in the sixth, maybe their biggest hit of the season.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball, well hit, left center, she's on the way, and there it goes! A three-run homer for Pete Alonso over the Great Wall of Flushing to the right of the 370 mark. Oh, as Pete Alonso lit this crowd here at Citi Field.
CBS, Mets tacked on five more runs. They led 8-1, and then they held on and beat San Diego 8-5. They needed Edwin Diaz to come in and close it out. He got his 21st save. The Mets are off today, and they host the Yankees tomorrow. The Yanks in Baltimore shut out the Orioles 6-0. Nestor Cortez, the first six innings. Clark Schmidt, the last three. Four hits for Jose Trevino, and another home run for Aaron Judge, is 37th. Houston right behind the Yanks. The Astros finished a sweep in Seattle. The Mariners began that series riding a 14-game winning streak. Speaking of streaks, Red Sox have lost five in a row, swept by Toronto, and during the losing streak, the Red Sox have given up 67 runs. They did yesterday get to see one of their all-time greats get inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame. David Ortiz did his speech in both English and Spanish. Tony Oliva, Jim Cott, both inducted as well. And three went in posthumously. Manny Minoso, Buck O'Neill, and Gil Hodges, the former Brooklyn Dodger first baseman and Mets manager. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market, and Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is back with us this morning. Kriti, big week for tech earnings, and we got some news from Apple ahead of the results.
We did get some news from Apple. You know, it's interesting because I feel like it's such a U.S.-centric week this week with the Federal Reserve, with all their eco data, and then, of course, with the earnings that you mentioned. I think it's supposed to be the biggest earnings week that we have this season. But I think you also have to pay attention to what's going on in China when it comes to Apple in particular. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying Apple shares are up about 0.5%. AAPL is your ticker. Well, now up 0.6%. It is your highest volume trade this morning in the pre-market. That being said, there is some news here. China's sealing off an iPhone maker, so Apple, for example, in Shenzhen to battle COVID. This is basically their closed loop system. They're saying that because of those lockdowns, they don't want to shut down the entire production facilities. So what they're doing is having workers actually work in this closed loop system, which means that you stay in the factory, you sleep in the factory for 7 days, and then you finally get out and kind of take your time off, take your weekends. It's a different working system. But basically what it does is it tries to make sure that the production and the factory kind of work still is ongoing while still kind of quarantining for COVID. So this is going to be a story you guys want to watch. It's not necessarily affecting the stock this morning, Nathan, but it is something that could affect it in the long term, as we of course know those COVID lockdowns and the Chinese approach to it has hurt a lot of production from Apple to Tesla to you name it.
Yeah, as we look ahead to the open this morning, we're seeing some pretty modest gains across the market, sort of moving in tandem this morning. Is it all about the Fed this week, or is it all about earnings?
Oh, that is a very hard, very, very hard question. I'm going to vote earnings here because the Federal Reserve, I think 75 basis points is priced into the market. And you can see that on a macro level. But on an internal level, I think one of the big question marks, especially after Snapchat and Twitter last week, is simply, do some of these big tech names actually have a chance in terms of impressing investors? The standards are so high, especially when you are kind of looking, or investors are looking really for any kind of Achilles heel. And I think that's why this morning's price action is so important when it comes to the tech names, because we talked about Apple, but take a look at what Google shares are doing. GOOG is your ticker, up 0.9%. Even Intel, a semiconductor company, INTC is your ticker, up 0.6%. And then, of course, you always have Tesla, TSLA, up 1.3%. So to see that tech is really right off the bat kicking into high gear and leading those gains even in the pre-market, I would say is pretty significant. That being said, you do have some materials names in here as well. So Newmont, for example, NEM is your ticker. It's actually down 2.2%. So keep an eye on that trade, the idea that defensives are coming back, cyclicals perhaps taking a little bit of a back foot.
Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta getting us ready for a very busy week for the markets. Thanks, as always, Kriti. And looking ahead to the open, we have S&P futures higher by 18 points, Dow futures up 146, NASDAQ futures on the rise by 56 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 11/32 now, yield 2.79%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.98%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather could be stormy today with a heat advisory in effect till 8 tonight for parts of northern New Jersey. We'll get up to near 90 degrees, mid-80s, sunny, less humid tomorrow, upper 80s Wednesday. Right now, 82 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are on the rise this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now, with Dow futures up 153 points, S&P's gained 19, while NASDAQ futures are higher by 57. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.8%. Gold is up 3. Oil is climbing, but Bitcoin is down by 3%. Asian markets dropped overnight, while European markets are higher this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30 Chicago Fed and at 10:30 the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, RPM EPS missed estimates. Also look for Newmont Mining to report. And in other news, Apple prepares a rare iPhone discount for Chinese buyers. Wrapping things up, Blackstone was cut to market perform over at KBW. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John?
Karen, a destructive wildfire near Yosemite National Park burning out of control through tinder dry forest. Thousands have been evacuated as a result. Former President Donald Trump headed back to Washington, D.C. He'll be the keynote speaker at a conservative conference tomorrow. And Elon Musk denying he had an affair with Google co-founder Sergey Brin's wife. According to the Wall Street Journal, the alleged affair took place in December. Sports: Yankees beat the Orioles, the Mets top the Padres, the Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays, Dodgers beat the Giants, and the Nationals beat the Diamondbacks. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
China's economic engine is about to start shrinking. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Right now, China has nearly a billion people 15 to 64 years old, which generally termed the working age population. That's about five times bigger than the same age group in the U.S. Because of recent birth declines, China's gigantic working age population will start shrinking before the end of this decade. According to new United Nations population projections, it will then keep shrinking for the rest of the century. Under the UN scenario that best corresponds to current fertility trends, China's 15 to 64 population will fall below 500 million in the 2060s and below 200 million in the 2090s. The U.S. working age population is expected to decline under that scenario too, but not nearly as fast, leaving it in roughly the same ballpark as China's, which is pretty amazing to contemplate. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet the demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President Biden's doctor says there are encouraging signs that he is overcoming the coronavirus. The White House physician noted in a daily update that the president's symptoms continue to improve significantly. He's being treated with Pfizer's drug Paxlovid. The director general of the World Health Organization has declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. The virus has spread to about 16,000 people in more than 70 countries in just a few months. There's concern that, as in the early days of the COVID outbreak, there's a lack of urgency and coordinating and testing and treatment. And Apple has announced a rare retail promotion in China. It's offering 4 days of discounts at its top-tier iPhones and related accessories in advance of the launch of its next-generation devices. The company is usually reluctant to alter pricing. The discounts come as China's economy tries to bounce back from major COVID-19 lockdowns in business hubs Shanghai and Beijing, which have hurt sales of leading domestic smartphone brands. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's coming up to 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include members of the House January 6th committee saying they have built evidence of criminal wrongdoing going all the way to former President Donald Trump. Republican Adam Kinzinger tells ABC's This Week he hopes the Justice Department is watching.
We never want to get in a position as a country what you see in failed democracies where every last administration is prosecuted. But there is a massive difference between I'm going to prosecute the last administration for political vengeance and not prosecuting an administration that literally attempted a failed coup.
Also making news, the World Health Organization declaring monkeypox a global health emergency. White House COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says the outbreak can be contained in the U.S.
The way we contain monkeypox is make testing widely available. We have done that, and now testing is far more frequent and common. We're going to be releasing hundreds of thousands of more vaccines in the next days and weeks.
Dr. Ashish Jha was on CBS's Face the Nation. And ahead of the Federal Reserve's policy decision this week, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen tells NBC's Meet the Press she does not see signs the U.S. economy is in a recession.
There is a slowdown, and businesses can see that, and that's appropriate given that people now have jobs and we have a strong labor market.
Meet the Press, Face the Nation, and This Week can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on what's happening in the nation's capital. Emily, good morning. It sounds like the January 6th committee has a few lines of inquiry it could potentially be looking into even after that final primetime hearing.
Yeah, Nathan, the thing that we've been hearing from Liz Cheney, from Elaine Lura, from others on the panel is that the dam has been broken, that they're starting to get a lot more witnesses coming forward, being willing to testify and being willing to share information. So the committee is, I guess you could call them on a break now. They're certainly doing work behind the scenes, but we're not going to be seeing more public hearings until we get to September. And we're also keeping an eye out for some sort of report from the committee. We initially were expecting a final report around the end of this summer, early fall. Now it sounds like we might not get a final one until a little bit later. And this is coming as the committee is also trying to figure out, look into what happened with text messages from the Secret Service from January 5th and January 6th. The committee had put in a request to get those texts, and they were told that they did not exist, that those texts had been wiped when the phones are reset to factory mode in January of 2021. The committee has said they're going to continue to look into that. You've got the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General that's also opened up an investigation into that one. One thing that really remains to be seen at this point, a huge question mark for the committee, is whether or not they're going to make any sort of criminal referral of Donald Trump to the Justice Department. I know in that clip, obviously, you heard Congressman Kinzinger suggest that that would be warranted. But whether or not the committee decides to do so is still up in the air. And of course, comes as the Justice Department, as well as other, attorney general departments and legal departments across the country are looking into Trump and his actions around trying to overturn the 2020 election and trying to come to some conclusion about what, if anything, is going to be done with the former president.
And even with this ongoing legal overhang, this is a very interesting week in Washington because former President Trump is coming back to D.C. for the first time since he left office after January 6th.
Yep. The president's going to deliver a keynote speech on Tuesday at the American First Agenda Summit, which is a conservative conference. He's not expected to announce another run for president in his speech, according to advisors. But we all know that he sometimes likes to go off script. And it's certainly going to be just sort of a sense of, you know, what's the reaction of Trump in and around Washington, D.C.? I mean, a city that's already pretty liberal as far as things go, but also just kind of a test of Trump's continuing power on the campaign trail. I mean, certainly you've seen the disapproval to approval rating for Trump. You've seen more folks begin to disapprove of him since March, since the first of the January 6th committee's revelations and news began to come out. But, you know, there is still a solid chunk of the population that approves of him, that wants to see him run for president again, and that still supports him. And at this point, it really remains to be seen how that might stack up against other potential Republican contenders for president in 2024.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but even before the president's appearance, former Vice President Mike Pence is coming to D.C. as well tonight.
Yeah, and Pence was actually here last week talking with a bunch of House Republicans who all greeted him very warmly, including those who have like very strongly backed Trump. But you're also going to see Pence give an announcement at the Heritage, again, a conservative think tank. His speech is going to be more focused on policy, which is something we're hearing Pence talk a lot about. He's also a potential contender for 2024. It'll be really, really interesting to see how he both kind of differentiates himself from Trump while sticking to Trump as, of course, his former vice president.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins going to be very busy in Washington, D.C. this week. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio from the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures up 20 points right now. Dow futures up 169. NASDAQ futures are higher by 62 points. 10-year Treasury is down 13.32. Now the yield 2.79%. Yield on the 2-year 2.98%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz is back this week. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.